You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
For a lot of teams, the start of the proverbial second half, I say proverbial because it's actually a few more games have been played than right at the halfway mark. It's kind of like a fresh start. So presumably the Mariners were a little disappointed that their fresh start sort of ended with a big thud, with not a great series against the Houston Astros. So let's talk about that. I'm Allison Futter here with Greg Johnson. Yeah, the Mariners, I mean, Greg, you know, I don't want to dump on them too much, but it's been a pretty long time that they haven't really put anything together. But I have to say, like, Scott Servais really summed up the last game against the Astros, the worst game, the, quote, worst game we've played all year. So four errors, five hit into double plays. I mean, no scoring with the bases loaded. So it was just one of those, was it like a kind of a, just a, like a temporary thing, you think, or is this sort of indicative of what's going on with this team?
Well, they haven't been playing great, but this was certainly an anomaly as far as the number of things you can do wrong in one game. Rarely do you see a Major League Baseball game that goes quite that poorly, and when they'll obviously want to flush quickly. They haven't played well against Houston, and that's been a problem. They went in, I remember, July 4th, we rolled into Houston. They were tied with the Astros. It can be a big series, see if they could kind of make a push, make some headway there, and they end up getting swept in Houston, and then come out of the All-Star break and get three more against Houston, maybe a chance, and they drop two or three there. So they're now four games back of Houston in third place, and of course Texas running out front there. So that was a series that they wanted to make a mark in, and didn't. Kind of made it the wrong way, as you said. And Sunday certainly just one of those days. You know, they just came out and a couple errors in the first inning. You know, they end up with four for the game. Could have had more. They had a fly ball that Seth Smith dropped through. They called it a sun double, but bounced off of him. So you know, it's just kind of one of those games. Five times the bases loaded and they're 0-for-5. Just didn't come up with a big hit when they wanted to, when they needed it, just things kind of spiraled. So it was just one of those games. They hit into five double plays, as you mentioned. I mean, it's hard to do all these things in one game. And when you add them up, you get a manager who says, yep, that was as bad as we've been, and we'll flush that one. So, you know, baseball's a funny game. You can come out the next day and things can look different. But that certainly was a clunker, and they need to get past it and move forward.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad for Mike Montgomery. I didn't watch the entire game. But it seemed, I mean, terrible defense behind him. It's kind of hard to assess. I mean, his stat line didn't look very good, but he had to have pitched a lot better than his numbers would say. I mean, what did you think about just how he kind of fared in that way?
Yeah, Mike's done a pretty good job. I mean, they put him in a spot start the last start before the All-Star break in Kansas City. He pitched very, very well. He's probably been, you know, if you're picking a guy that's been a highlight of this year, kind of a surprise. He's clearly it. He and Dejo Lee are kind of two guys you'd look at. And Mike has just been outstanding in the bullpen this year, and they give him a shot to start in Kansas City. He looks very good, and they keep him in the rotation again. And I thought he pitched pretty well, and so did Servais against the Astros. He just, as we said, didn't get much help. But I think he's going to go back in the bullpen. Interesting situation with the rotation, obviously, and Felix Hernandez coming back on Wednesday against the White Sox, and that's going to be a huge, huge lift for this team. And Taiwan Walker probably in another couple weeks away as well. So I think Montgomery's going to go back into that bullpen where he's been a stalwart for them and a big key as well. So, you know, they need to get those pieces back, and certainly Felix coming back is going to be a big one. You talk about milestones, and I look back, Felix's last start, they were nine games over 500 and rolling in first place in the AL West, and things looked awfully rosy, and not that it's all been Felix being hurt, but you know, since he's been out, obviously they've tailspun quite a bit, and part of it is you just miss that horse at the top of the rotation and a guy that saves your bullpen a lot and helps everything line up, and they'll definitely be a better team when they get King Felix back out there.
Yeah, I mean, that has to give him confidence just from making, like, a push at the end. I mean, they're not falling out of anything in terms of the wild card race. And really, I mean, the division race, well, doesn't look really great. The Rangers are certainly sputtering, and they've been sputtering long enough that now we're thinking, okay, is this, like, you know, is this something that they can fix or something they may not be able to fix? But that does give the other teams in the division hope. And I guess when they look at what they – putting themselves all back together, then they would look largely like they did in the April part of May when they were rolling, right?
Sure. You get Felix and Taiwan Walker as well. If he was pitching early, I mean, those are two studs. And Iwakuma's been real good. I mean, he's won 10 games, kind of held the ship afloat a little bit while those two guys have been out. So, you take those kind of guys out of your rotation, and Texas has dealt with it. To their credit, they've taken a lot of hits and kept on going. So the Mariners, need to do that as well. But you do miss anytime you get two guys like that. I mean, it changes things. I mean, they're kind of piecing things together with Wade LeBlanc. They picked up and pitched in AAA, and he's started a couple games for him. Done okay. They brought Paxton up, and he's looked impressive with his stuff, but things just kind of haven't all clicked for putting it all together for wins. Miley struggled, and they need to get him kind of squared away. So you bring in two starters like Felix, and if we see the same Taiwan Walker that we saw earlier in the year, I mean he was the best pitcher they had in the first month and a half of the season. So if they get him back on track and Felix back in, that certainly changes the complexion of this team. Starting pitching takes you a long, long way in baseball, and if they get those guys back and keep everybody else healthy, then certainly I think they can be in the mix for a wild card spot if they can get things going. Their offense has been good; it's been solid all year, and there's really no reason to see that change.
Yeah, I have not given up on them. So on a much happier note, at this point, Ken Griffey Jr. being inducted in the Hall of Fame in a very short amount of time. So you are going to be there. What are you most looking forward to? I mean, this is a huge deal, obviously, for the Mariners organization. But what is that? How are you feeling going into this and being able to cover this very exciting time?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, Junior is an incredible, incredible personality and figure, and not just in Seattle but across the sport. And it's gonna be fun. I think, without a doubt, I think everybody that knows Junior is looking forward to his speech. I mean, this is the guy who if he lets his emotions out and just kind of speaks from the heart, I think it's going to be pretty darn good to see what he has to say Sunday. So looking forward to that. He says it's still a work in progress. He says he doesn't have things all written down in stone. And I'm curious, kind of one of the questions is he going to just talk, or is he going to read it? And the hope from a lot of people is he just kind of gets up there and talks from the heart and doesn't read from a script. I was talking to Harold Reynolds, former teammate of his, and a good buddy, that he thinks he's going to just go for it and just wing it and be himself. And if he does that, he's a pretty entertaining guy. So it's going to be fun to see that. Just to see, Junior and Mike Piazza on that big stage in Cooperstown. I think just to be there is a privilege, obviously, and to lead up to that, the chance to go through all the festivities with the Griffies and things, their family and things. It'll be quite a weekend in Cooperstown. There's a huge contingent from the Mariners going back. I know fans as well. First Mariner, Randy Johnson went in, and obviously he was a big part of Mariner history, but he didn't go in as a Mariner. Ken going in as the first full-time, real position player at all in Mariner history is the guy from the Mariners. So that's a big moment in this franchise, and who better to do it than Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah, so going to the Cooperstown, I know this is your first time. For anybody who has not been, you don't fly at Cooperstown. You have to fly somewhere else and you have to drive. So last year when we went for Biggio, we flew into Albany and then drove. I think you can fly into Binghamton. There's a couple other places. Okay, so I want to know your travel schedule. You are going from the furthest most point in this country to get to Cooperstown. So this is highly entertaining. So what does your itinerary look like? I need to know. Where are you connected? Obviously, you've got to be connecting somewhere. How long are you going to be flying, and where are you flying into?
Yeah, we're going into Albany. I mean, that's with any East Coast trip from Seattle. It's an all-day endeavor, pretty much. I mean, you lose the 3 hours, and you get there. We'll get there in the evening in Albany, and I think it's about an hour and a half drive from Albany to Cooperstown. But it's I know an idyllic area of the country, and definitely looking forward to seeing that part of the Upper New York as well, and just kind of soaking it all in. You made that trek last year, as you said, for the Biggio, and I think it's going to be an eye-opener for all Mariner fans to get out there and see baseball history and take part in all that. Should be a great time.
Is that like a six-hour flight?
Yeah, I mean, I think I am connecting, I believe, through Chicago. I have to look it up, but, there's a, it's, I mean, if you'd fly direct from, Seattle to the East Coast, it's five and a half, six. Sometimes get a connector and you add on an extra hour somewhere. But yeah, I mean, you leave early in the morning, get there, it's getting toward dark. So that's part of living in Seattle. It's one of the things the Mariners, I think, a lot of times you know, people don't like to talk about it too much, making excuses, but it is something, you know, when you talk to players and they first year in Seattle, they go, man, it is a little different traveling here. And if you grew up in Chicago or something, and every flight an hour or two going one direction or the other, or you're on the East Coast, a lot of your flights are on the East Coast. A little different in Seattle. Not a lot of teams close to Seattle here. And, you know, the closest trip is Oakland for a couple of hours. So, yeah, that's part of being in Seattle. It's part of the beauty of it. They got the whole left upper coast is their territory, Mariner territory, and that's why a lot of those folks are going to be traveling out there to New York to take part in the Cooperstown experience.
Absolutely. Seattle is well worth it, considering what a beautiful part of the country it is. So, okay. Well, safe travels, Greg. We will look forward to getting a report from you and enjoy the whole thing. And thanks for being on today. We'll talk to you soon.
You betcha, Allison. Good talking to you.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.